Take your Bibles. I want you to turn to one verse. One verse. It's in the book of Acts, chapter number 14, verse number 7. And until I had really launched out into ministry and started my, my full-time occupation in the ministry, this verse that I'm going to read for you tonight was what I claim to be kind of my life verse. Now, since the time that I first entered into ministry full time, my life verse is Acts chapter number 20, verse number 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and to testify the gospel, the grace of God. So this is my life verse now. However, up to that point, it was Acts 14, verse number 7. Let's stand for just a moment as we read this one verse. And I am telling you that if you will let this verse sink into your hearts, it will change every conversation you have. Acts chapter 14, verse number 7. Here it is. Get ready. And there they preached the gospel. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your good news, your gospel ministry. And Father, whether we be the pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a church member, whether we are an engineer, a nurse, whether we be in the service industry, or we have a 9-to-5 job, whether we work midnights or days, Lord, I pray that you would help us to open our eyes and realize that the reason that you have put us there is to preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray that in the brevity of this message, that you would do a powerful work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were to put a title on this message, I would simply entitle it this, Preaching the Gospel. The first thing that I want you to notice is the location in which the gospel should be preached. According to Acts chapter 14, verse number 7, the location is there. Where exactly? Yes, right there is where the gospel should be preached. It is in the context of these missionary journeys, the work that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and Silas and the many others are doing. In fact, when you come to this passage, you see Paul and Barnabas, and they, at the beginning of the chapter, are in this place called Iconium. And the Bible says in the beginning of the chapter that it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. And what was it that they spake? They spake concerning the gospel that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. In fact, they spake there so convincingly, so powerfully that verse number 2 says that the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. We find that great adversity came upon Paul and Barnabas as a result of that. And as the multitude of the city was divided in verse number 2, that part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And I'll tell you that no matter where you go, if you find yourself there preaching the gospel, it can be an intensely divisive thing. You can talk about football, you can talk about basketball, you can talk about fishing or hunting, you can talk about arts and crafts, you can talk about a number of things, but for whatever reason, if you find yourself there preaching the gospel, you bring up the name of Jesus. And you will find cold hearts and you closed lips. You will find those that are so mad and angry about the name Jesus that they will shut you down and push you away. But I'll tell you someone else you will find. You will find those that are lost and undone. You will find the broken and the bruised. You will find the guilty in their sin who are willing to call out and receive Christ as their Savior. So if you are wondering where the location is in order to preach the gospel and where we should carry out that gospel work. If you're wondering if you have to buy a ticket to England or the Netherlands or some other far region, or if you have to be like Paul and Barnabas and go to Iconium? The answer is no, because when they left Iconium, they find themselves in verse number 6, fleeing to Lystra and Derbe and cities of Lycaonia and under the regions round about. And in all of those places, in all of those regions, they always brought the gospel. So if you're going to preach the gospel, preach it there. That is the location. I want you to notice not just the location, but the conjunction. Did you know that this verse, of course you did because you read it and you went to at least one grammar class, that this verse begins with a conjunction? It says, and there they preached the gospel. And I know what you might be thinking tonight. Maybe you're thinking tonight, Pastor Jared, you're doing that thing that preachers do. You're taking insignificant words and you're making a whole big stink about it. Yes, we do that. But the words are not insignificant. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. They're preserved for this age. And the Bible does not say from verse number 6 to verse number 7 that when they were aware of it, that they fled into Lystra and Derbe and cities of Iconium and under the region that lieth round about. It does not say only there they preached the gospel, but it says, and there they preached the gospel. Can I submit to you tonight that conjunction and is intended twofold? Number one, it's intended to indicate that you do not have to be just in Lystra or just in Iconium or just in the region that lieth round about, but you can be somewhere else. You can preach the gospel here and you can preach it there. Sometimes our missionaries, they are confined to one precise region and one precise country. All of you know that I have been praying about what to do as a church as we grow and find ourselves in need to expand the facilities. And should we expand here or should we expand there? But whether we be here or whether we be there, we need to find ourselves preaching the gospel. The gospel work is not a work that we relegate and delegate to our missionaries abroad, but instead it is something that we do wherever we go. So wherever you find yourself, we need to be proclaiming the gospel, whether we be there or whether we be here, whether we be at work or whether we be out running errands. It is there that we preach the gospel, and we do these things as we go about. We need to revive a phrase, a saying that came very much alive a few years ago leading into our missions revival. That every trip is a mission trip. That's exactly what they're saying right here. They're saying if we can't be in Iconium and if we have to go to Lystra, then we're going to preach the gospel there too. We don't just have to do it here. We can do it here and there. Every trip is a mission trip. We see the location, the conjunction. Now notice the proclamation. What did they do once they got there? The Bible says that they preached the gospel. Now preaching, in its most foundational understanding is this. It's to proclaim something. Proclaim something. It's different than teaching in this way, is that teaching, the emphasis, the goal of teaching is instruction. And I'm not minimizing teaching. There are many who do that in attempt to magnify preaching. I don't think that's necessary. I think that you can hold teaching in its proper place and still separate that which is preaching and that which is teaching. For teaching is instructive. It is important. You cannot proclaim or you cannot preach, by the way, without instruction. I love this definition of preaching, by the way. Preaching is teaching from the standpoint of authority with the intent to persuade. I don't want you just to know about the gospel. I want you to be compelled by it. I want you to receive it. I want you to respond to it. Not just to understand it, but that you would be transformed by it. That's the difference between just teaching and preaching. But teaching has ever been a part of it. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the disciples out in that great commission, He said that they should go teaching all nations to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. But this word proclaiming is more than just instructive. It is propelling. It is preaching. It is proclaiming. It is moving. And as we go throughout our day, throughout our lives, regardless of the location, whether it be here or whether it be there, may we find ourselves passionate about the work of proclaiming and preaching. I'll tell you, the most unappealing gospel message is the one in which there is no heart. I don't know if you can really be preaching or proclaiming the gospel without your heart in it. I think you can be instructive and teach it without any heart, but I don't think you can preach it without any heart. Is not this how Jesus proclaimed his gospel? For God so loved the world, the Bible says. In the book of Corinthians, it warns us against this cold and unfeeling and burdenless proclamation. It says that you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, and you are become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You see, as we go throughout our lives, wherever we find ourselves, here or there, here and there, we ought to be aware of our location, our conjunction, but also this proclamation that we are there to proclaim, to preach the gospel, and to do so passionately, realizing that heaven and hell lay in the balance, that it is eternity in the hearts and the souls of men, and God has called us to do it. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you are all missionaries to the city of Knoxville. All of you Anderson Countyites, where are you at in the building? I saw you a moment ago. You drive all the way up I-75 and you scan your passport and make sure your visa is valid as you step into the rural communities of Anderson County. And when we pray and conclude this service, you are going into the far reaches of northern Knoxville to proclaim the gospel. Those are going to get in your cars and head east down 40. You're taking the gospel. Those heading west, you're taking the gospel. Those that are on the mission field of your homes watching by live stream tonight, you are the lights of the gospel in that community. And our job is not just to live passively throughout our days, but instead to realize that you are there for the purpose of proclamation. Then lastly, I notice this about this verse. The Bible says very clearly, and there they preached the gospel. But there, just before the word preached, is the instrument that God used. It's three letters in our English language. No, it's not. It's four. Help me, Lord. A West Virginia education kicks in every now and then. T-H-E-Y. They. They. Them. You know, those ones over there. Or in good East Tennessee dialect, you-uns over there. The Texans would say, y'all. They. But here is our problem. As it when it comes to proclaiming the gospel, we read this verse and we see it in its profound yet simple truth that wherever they were, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. But what we must realize is that we are now the they. We are the ones in 2024 in this area that God has called to proclaim this truth. That is why we are here. And we ought to be able to put each of us on the spot every single week. And as Paul and Barnabas came back to their home church in Antioch, and as they even traveled down to Jerusalem, that they would proclaim, that they would update the church and tell the church all of the things that the Lord has done concerning the gospel in the same way that Graylin and Sarah have done tonight, that the gospel work would be proclaimed the same way that our teens did as they came back from Grenada on fire and so excited excited, clapping their hands and worshiping and praising God for all that they had done. And they give an account for what the Lord had done. And because of our passionate proclamation of the gospel, we should be able to gather in this place every single week and just form a line behind this pulpit as we tell the gospel work and the conversations and the opportunities that God has given us. It might not be as Graylin and Sarah were unable to say all of those that made decision right there in the moment. And by the way, that's okay. You think Paul and Barnabas had any idea that we would be here still talking about the work that they did? I don't know if they had a glimmer of an idea that thousands of years later we'd be talking about it. I think that they would look at the work that was done and say, oh, but the fruit, it was so sparse and so small. But yet, it was the spark that lit a bonfire of warmth and light for the gospel that is still burning today. We ought to be able to come behind this pulpit every single week and say, here is the gospel work that's being done through me and in me and through these conversations that I am having. Because every trip is still a mission trip. Because when I look to the truth of this verse, it reminds us of the location there. Right here. It reminds us of the conjunction. It reminds us of the proclamation, and it reminds us of the person that God always has a testimony of the gospel in all time. And their time, Paul and Barnabas, is now past. And our time, our responsibility is now.